Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, as we do every year on August 29th, we commemorate the beheading of the holy prophet, forerunner, and Baptist John. That's why you heard the gospel reading that Deacon James just read, telling of this story. And it's why you see us today wearing these red vestments as we remember and commemorate the blood that was spilled by St. John the Baptist in his witness for the truth. And I want to speak about what St. John the Baptist did and why he was beheaded, but speak not just to that event in and of itself, but to the why behind it, the deeper meaning behind it, and how this relates to so much of what we hear in Scripture and so much of what we need to think about and how we live our own lives. What I mean by that is, on the surface, we see that what St. John the Baptist did is he called out King Herod to his face, and he said, "It's against the law for you to take another person's wife," in this case, even his own brother's wife. Okay, when John says it's against the law, it wasn't against the Roman law for Herod to do what he did. It's against the law of God. But you see, the problem for Herod and the problem for the kings throughout the Bible, and why there's always this contradiction between, this conflict between God and the kings, the prophets and the kings, the people of God and the kings, is because the kings often think that they are above God's law. And in fact, if you look back in the Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, the word for king is connected to the word for ownership. To be the king means that you own everything. So in Herod's mind, it's no problem because he owns his area of Judea and Samaria and Galilee and so forth. It was his territory. He can take anybody's wife he wants. That's what's in Herod's mind. And this is problematic according to God's law. And again, it's not just problematic because it's adultery, but what is the problem behind adultery? The problem is thinking that we have the right to something that does not belong to us, to thinking that we can do more and go beyond what is our area, what that God has given us. And this is a constant conflict that we see throughout Scripture, and it is most exemplified by the kings. And of course, what we ultimately learn from Jesus, the true king, is that even if a king were to say that they owned their territory, you own it so that you can serve the people that live in your territory. Not so that you have dominion over them in such a way as you exercise power, you can take from them whatever you want, you can behave however you want. The great king, the king above all kings, behaves in a manner where he condescends. He is, as we have said many times, in our iconography, depicted as the King of Glory on the cross, in his humility, in his condescension, in his love for mankind, in his pouring out of himself for others. And so ultimately, the problem with the kings is a problem that we all face, brothers and sisters. It's not just a problem for the kings, it's a problem for you and me. The only difference is we don't have as much power and authority as them. And that's why we see this constant cycle. When people get power, they become more corrupt, is the tendency. And we see this exemplified time and again in politics and in our societies. And ultimately, this conflict that we have, it relates to us wanting to acquire more. And the Bible begins in the book of Genesis. We can see this theme at work. This theme that ultimately comes to dominate why Herod believes that he has a right to his brother Philip's wife and why he has this conflict with John the Baptist. Because you see, at the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, what happens? God sets up everything for us that we could possibly need. And we can just be in paradise, as we call it, and essentially relax. And he just says, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not there for you. What do we decide to do as human beings? We want more. We want to acquire more. We want to have more knowledge, even though God has told us it's not a good thing for you. And so we go about and we try to acquire more. Again, we see this at play in the story of the sons of Adam and Eve. Because you have the first child of Eve is Cain. And Cain's name means to be acquired. And so we have this strange statement. Some of the English translations, they think it couldn't possibly have meant what it says, so they change it to something that makes more sense. But if you read it in the original, what it says is Eve says, I have acquired a son. Who has said that among mothers, that they acquired a child? Nobody says that. And that was on purpose, because it is showing through that story what happens when we're always seeking to acquire more. What happens with Cain? He ends up killing his brother. He becomes the first murderer outside of the devil. And then finally we have Seth, through whom the biblical story continues and through whose line we ultimately get to Jesus Christ. And what does his name mean? It means to be posited, to be placed. And Eve recognizes her mistake with Cain, having thought that she had acquired someone, and she says that God has given her a child. God has posited to her a child. It is God's gift to her. It's not her own acquisition. So you see, brothers and sisters, this idea of acquiring, of having more, of possessing, of owning, it's something that is a constant temptation for us, and it's something that at the very beginning of the Bible, we see in these early stories as being one of the key problems for us human beings. We seek to acquire. We desire more. And the more that we get, the more that we think we should have. And human beings get to the point of being like King Herod, where they think they own everything and they're willing to kill somebody who tells them, you can't have that. St. John the Baptist didn't tell him you couldn't be the king, you couldn't own the property. He just said, you can't have your brothers. It's too much for King Herod. So let us realize that each of us has a little bit of King Herod in ourselves as we seek to acquire, possess, have more, be more powerful. And let us remember the testimony that St. John the Baptist gave, a testimony not just on the day he was beheaded, on the day that he confronted King Herod, but in the way that he lived his life, as we hear about so many of the holy ascetics in our Orthodox tradition who have said, I don't need to possess a home. I don't need to possess great things. All I need to do is serve God. And that is why Jesus called St. John the Baptist the greatest of anyone born of woman. And it's why we honor and revere him today, because his testimony and his witness is a lesson to us that we may learn to glorify God as he did, to whom be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.